The third Sunday in end time. Monday, November 15th. Festival for Saints Triumphant. Worship leader, Senior Jason Strong. Preacher, Professor Ken Cherney.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit,
Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ,
Almighty God, you have knit your people together in one holy church, the body of Christ our Lord. Grant us grace to follow the example of your blessed saints in lives of faith and willing service, and with them at last inherit the inexpressible joys that you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A lesson from Isaiah chapter 26. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you. When your judgments come upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. Lord, you establish peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. O Lord, our God, other lords besides you have ruled over us, but your name alone do we honor. But your dead will live. Their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. Go, my people. Enter your rooms and shut the doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until his wrath has passed by. See, the Lord is coming out of his dwelling to punish the people of the earth for their sins. The earth will disclose the blood shed upon her. She will conceal her slain no longer. The word of the Lord. Lesson from Revelation 7. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they? And where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord. Stand out of respect for the words and works of Christ our Lord. Our gospel for this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 5. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. Imagine that you are a soldier in wartime and you have been captured behind enemy lines so that now you are an inmate in a very large prisoner of war camp, along with thousands of other inmates. This camp is so large that it functions like a little city. It has its own economy. The main medium of exchange is cigarettes. And it has its own power structure. There is the enemy officer in charge on top, and then there are the guards below him whom he commands. But the inmates, too, have been organized into companies, and certain inmates placed over the others in positions of authority, all to make sure that life in camp runs reasonably smoothly. And as you settle in to life as a prisoner of war, you notice different inmates taking different approaches to life in camp. It becomes obvious to you very quickly that the more compliant you are as a prisoner, the easier time you're going to have. And so some inmates have set about doing everything they can to become model prisoners. They obey the guards and all their rules implicitly. In fact, some of the inmates go well beyond obedience. They do all kinds of little favors for the guards, shining their boots and brushing their uniforms. They let the guards know about troublemakers among the inmates, quietly keeping them up to speed on what's really going on there in camp. And naturally, this behavior brings for these inmates all kinds of rewards. They get a little extra food once in a while and lighter work details, less scrutiny from the guards, positions of authority, and most of all, coveted cigarettes. And in time, you notice that because this is the way things work, the camp has really taken on a culture of its own system of values that you come to think of as camp values. In camp values, most obviously, the money that you had in your pocket when you were captured, that is now worth nothing. The only thing that counts now are cigarettes. In camp values, loyalty to your home country and your army and compassion for your fellow prisoners, those are the things that get punished. Loyalty to yourself, first of all, and loyalty to the system there in camp, those are the things that are rewarded. And so one night, as you're lying on your bunk thinking about all of this, you jot down some of your thoughts on a little scrap of paper that you managed to scrounge. And you notice what you've written taking the form of a little poem. And it reads like this. Happy are the realists, for theirs is the key to life in camp. Happy are those who are good at looking out for number one, for they stay warm and well-fed and comfortable. Happy are those who are feared, those who have learned the art of intimidation, for they are the ones whom nobody messes with. And happy are you when the guards chat you up and joke around with you and praise you. Rejoice in that day and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward right here, right now. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you get the point. The inmates in the camp, well, that's you and me, the disciples of Jesus of Nazareth. In fact, for disciples of Jesus of Nazareth, there are times when this world seems worse than a prison camp. Here we are, trapped in a place whose culture is not our culture and whose values are not our values, a place that at times seems not just like a prison camp, it seems like a kind of bizarro world, where evil is called good and good is called evil. This world that detests everything that our Father in heaven loves, and that loves what he detests. And so if you were going to write a set of beatitudes for this world, you would maybe have to add these. Blessed are the pushy and arrogant, for everybody gets out of their way. Blessed are those who have learned the fine art of putting themselves first while making it look like that's not really what they're doing. For they are the ones who accumulate power and authority and cigarettes. Blessed are those who give their lives to cultivating their tastes and appetites, those whose motto is more, fancier, better. For they are the ones whom everyone admires. Blessed are the impure in heart, who are proud of their impurity, who parade their impurity on reality TV shows. For they are the ones who live on the edge, who push back the boundaries. You know, we really owe people like that a debt of gratitude. Blessed are you when the world praises you and sees you as no threat at all. Rejoice in that day and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward right here, right now. And brothers and sisters in Christ, if you doubt me, if you don't agree that those are the values by which this world operates, just think about what happened when somebody came here and lived differently and taught differently. Because after all, who was less arrogant? Who was poorer in spirit than the Lord Jesus? Who mourned more deeply than Jesus at what he saw around him? Who hungered and thirsted more deeply than Jesus for a righteousness that here in this world is nowhere to be found? Who cared less than Jesus about what those in power thought of him, but had all the time in the world for the downtrodden and the guilt-ridden and the sad? Who was purer in heart than Jesus, gentler than Jesus, more merciful than Jesus? And exactly what did it get him? What it got him is that those in power here in the camp perceived immediately the threat that he represented. And they gave him a chance. They talked to him. But what we obviously had here was a failure to communicate. What's he trying to do? Bring the Romans down on our necks and get us all killed? Telling people that the ones that everybody respects, the scribes and the Pharisees, they are actually closer to hell than the prostitutes? Telling people that what they think is righteousness isn't really righteousness, and what we all need most from God is forgiveness. What's he trying to do? Take the whole moral universe and turn it upside down? And so those in power reacted the only way they could. They came down on him hard. They made an example of him. Put on trial and found guilty immediately, to nobody's surprise. And then spit on and whipped and beaten to a pulp and nailed to a piece of wood and left to die. That's the way he wants it? Well, he gets it. Blessed are the meek indeed. Thank goodness that's the end of all of that nonsense. Except it wasn't, was it? On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he will come to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. What Jesus had done, having come here to remind us that this is not normal, this is bizarro world, what Jesus had done was to break out about the only way you can, which is by dying. What he had done was to return to life on the outside. In fact, to return to the seat of power over the entire universe, where even now he is marshaling his forces and preparing D-Day. And when D-Day comes, and it will come, it is his captors and tormentors, and the captors and tormentors of God's people, who will find that their world has been turned upside down. In fact, they will find that their world has become too small, because there will be nowhere for them to hide. The barbed wire will come down, folks. The world will disappear with a roar. And we will be returned to life on the outside, where our grandfathers and grandmothers and the heroes of faith and the saints triumphant are there already, waiting for us. On that day, camp culture and camp values will be nothing but a bad dream, because there will be no more camp. There will be a kingdom. And this kingdom is not ruled by an enemy officer and his goons. This kingdom is ruled by a lamb who looks as though he had been slain. And in this kingdom, those who are praised and those who are rewarded, those who shine like the stars forever and ever, will be those who, no matter how rough it got in camp, always remembered who they are. Selfishness and treachery and intimidation and impurity will be banished from this camp forever. And in this camp, there will be only those who know that the one who dies with the most toys doesn't win. He's dead. Only those who know that accumulating cigarettes is not the purpose of life, because cigarettes are not the purpose of life, they're cigarettes. Only those who know that the one who wins the rat race is not a winner, he's a rat. And above all, this is a kingdom into which you don't have to elbow your way by shoving somebody else aside, where you don't rise to the top by stepping on somebody else, a kingdom where you don't have to earn your place or deserve your place or prove that you belong. Have no fear, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. It's yours. And it's a gift. And if all this is true, if this kingdom is most assuredly on its way, if the saints triumphant are basking in its light already now, if this kingdom's coming is so near and so certain that, have you noticed, the guards in the camp are looking a little nervous these days, if all that's true, then doesn't this make all the difference for us, not just then, but now? Doesn't this mean that the purpose to which so many people appear to give their life, which is getting comfortable, getting what they want and avoiding what they don't, avoiding pain, enjoying pleasure, accumulating cigarettes, doesn't this mean that that purpose is not only downright silly, it's dangerous? Doesn't this mean that what we're really here for is to remind one another of who we are, of what is coming, and to live as though it were here already now? And if we do, then no matter how rough it gets here in the camp, no matter what work detail we pull or what the prison tries to do to us, I think the guards are going to notice a little smirk on our face that they can't explain, but that never entirely goes away. In fact, from time to time, on days like today, they might even catch us singing. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Lord of eternity and King of saints, all the heavens adore you. Saints and angels sing before you.
You join them to praise your majesty.
You clothe us with garments of splendor. You bless us with grace and mercy in this life and eternal glory forever. What undeserved love you show us.
We thank you, Lord, that you have made us your saints.
Encourage us by your gracious promises. Forgive our failures to live as you desire. Strengthen the faith of all who are weak and wandering.
Give us power to live as your faithful people.
Your saints will triumph forever in new heavens and a new earth. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more. We anticipate with joy an eternity of perfect fellowship with you.
Be with us.
Lord of life, the day is coming when you will come down from heaven with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. On that glorious day, the saints triumphant will rise in bright array, clothed in your perfect righteousness.
Give us strength until that day, when we will share fully in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who will soon come again in glory to deliver us forever from this present evil age. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Oh,
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed in your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
We give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift, you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit, help us to live as your people until that day when you will receive us as your heavenly guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Thank you for listening to Morning Chapel, an audio service of the Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary Library. For more information, please visit www.wls.wells.net.